Director Krennic.
Not Mando related, but there's a bad batch.
Standing on my achievements.
You stand here on my achievements.
Careful not to choke on your aspirations, Adam.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Goodness.
To the Star Wars Guys podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Mike.
Hello there.
Nate. And you know him well, Uncle.
You're an uncle no longer.
Uncle.
Uncle.
Remove your hat.
Kill him. Yeah. Welcome back. Oh, we got a lot to dive into.
What a day.
Mando episode 5, chapter 21. Break that down. The pirate, and then
Pirates.
The 2-episode Bad Batch finale.
Season finale.
Clearly.
True. Clearly the season finale.
That,
such sweet
that we'll, dive into.
Such sweet sorrow.
I know.
Oh, gosh.
Cliffhanger, I would say, for both episodes.
Yeah. So before we dive into specifics or even overall thoughts, I got to say,
Carabas.
This is the most full, maybe, of any Star Wars television day in a while of just both shows at once, firing on all cylinders, some woohoo moments, some wow, I didn't see that coming, some
right,
like legitimately brought to tears by things that happened in Bad Batch.
Yeah. I made a mistake.
I couldn't believe that all this happened on the same day because I watched Mando first. I think, wow, did I love that episode.
Yeah.
And then I watched Bad Batch. I watched the first episode and go, oh, man, this is getting really good. What's going to happen? And then you cut to me at the end and all my mascara is running. And no, I wasn't wearing mascara. But that's the picture.
Because I watched Mando first, too. And I felt like the surprises and stuff, I was, like, super hyped. And I was like, oh, I love that episode. A lot of stuff came out of nowhere. Got me really excited. Then I watched Bad Batch after and was immediately torn down.
I watched Batch first today.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And the timing of my kids.
What a payoff, though, watching Batch first.
Oh, my goodness.
How good that was. We'll spend a lot of time on Batch in the second half of this, but unbelievable. I thought it was... I know we'll talk about it later, but I thought that... And I kind of can... I know it's 2 episodes. We talked about this off air. You had to do two. You had to do them both
Could
at once.
Can you imagine?
A literal cliffhanger. Mm. It felt like one finale
right.
episode.
Yes.
It's a through line story for sure. That is one of my favorite... What we got in Bad Batch today is one of my favorite episodes, installments of Star Wars television. Definitely Star Wars animated television that I'll put up against some of the best stuff we've seen in Clone Wars, some of the best stuff we've seen in Rebels.
Yeah.
Even though there's huge galactic stakes in this too. Maybe there's even more legacy character stuff in some of those other shows, like Clone Wars has I was thinking about this earlier today. Clone Wars has the legacy factor behind it of more Obi-Wan, more Anakin, more Dooku, more, you got Palpatine. You also get the actual return
Director
of Maul.
Krennic.
You get the return of Maul.
Director.
Rebels comes out years later.
Rebels.
And is great.
This guy's jumping the gun.
Rebels comes out years later. I just have to get this off my chest. Rebels comes out years later and has kind of a balance. It's a lot more of the new characters.
Yep.
And then as seasons progress, then we get the Maul and the Obi-Wan and we get more stuff. But then this is pretty much, at first, like a whole new batch of characters in a time period that we're familiar with but not necessarily getting the details of. And now we take this crew, and it's such a vital, like, this small story exploding into this big galactic, what's happening with the Empire, what's happening, we get Director Krennic. I'll save all this for later, but I love Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And Mando.
I forgot Mando happened this
Mando.
Week. No, I love
could
it.
Do
what
an
do
hour
we want to start with?
Batch.
Overall, Mando? Overall thoughts?
I got some stuff I want to get off my chest about the Wizard of Oz real quick.
Oh, okay. Please.
Is that okay? Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really pressing
going
on.
I'm going to see Wicked here soon.
I'm just kidding. You are?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I'll just bash it.
So great.
You're going to see Wicked right after this?
Right after this.
Really?
Straight from here.
That is awesome. So we got to get going.
All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, I agree. Today was amazing. I was trying to think of another day in the recent past when I could say that we had something as far-reaching and emotional and the mystery of it. I mean, it's like, it was really great.
It really great was.
There's a lot to get into.
Yeah.
We'll just dive into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts on the on Mando?
On overall thoughts on Mando? Yeah, sure. Who
Mando
wants to start?
First.
We'll do Mando start, first.
Uncle.
Uncle.
Overall thoughts on the Mando episode?
Yeah.
Well, we have a bit of a disagreement here.
Oh.
On the armorer.
Oh.
Overall, thought it was really, really good. I love the story arc that we're developing here of the path of the Mandalorians.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit stunned at how quickly I thought there would be something else to bring about the shift. I predicted
the shift, yeah.
Bo-Katan's helmet would come off in
you
this
did.
Episode.
You did.
You did. You called that.
It. But I didn't think it would be this way.
Yeah.
No.
Somehow
kind of,
we were able
to.
Thought
it would be on her own.
I thought she would like defy them or something. Somehow we were able to, you know, overthrow. I don't know how many years of tradition.
I know this
and,
is interesting.
And, but,
we're going to get into this. For
so
sure.
Our debate
this
is the armorer bad? I actually believe that the armorer sees that the only way to bring Mandalorians together, and in this current world, it's a theme that we can, I would say, a lot of people adhere to, which there's a lot of truth to it, is that we need to throw away some outdated traditions in favor of community, bringing people together.
Yeah. That just because it's always been done this way
doesn't mean
it's
it should
the best
always
way.
Right.
It shouldn't change. Yeah.
Now, as you know, there are some things I think should stand.
Yeah, for sure.
But there are other things that we do that I think why there's
new
no reason.
New doesn't always
why
mean
do
better.
We still do
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that Bo-Katan making the steps that she made toward them, I think the armorer is seeing that
Bo-Katan
for the bigger picture.
Both worlds.
Both worlds.
Or what she says.
She can bring the tribes
both
together.
Both.
Both worlds. Yeah. So I actually feel better about the armorer now. I do.
Yeah.
And I know the ending was, but I think it's another. I was trying to remember.
I don't necessarily think that ending with the Moff Gideon
points to her.
Points to her. I don't necessarily think that it automatically points to her.
But it did seem come kind of quick that she allowed.
Well, we can get into those specifics too.
It feels a little bit thin.
Yeah. Feels maybe a little bit set up, a little framed.
Well, help
like,
me remember something.
A number
okay.
of things I think it could be.
Rebels. Ezra helps this young boy escape. They end up on a planet of Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Vizsla. Who was it?
That was pre-Vizsla.
Pre-Vizsla. Yeah.
Also voiced by Jon Favreau.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. And they were in connection at the time with Maul? Were they?
That would be
the Watch.
The Watch, which was Maul's faction of...
Yeah.
Which Bo-Katan was with.
Yeah.
Which we've connected
Death Watch.
With.
Sorry, Death
That's
Watch.
Right. Yeah. But then Death somewhere Watch. Along the line, there was a split. And I think...
Then they somehow turn because then
Bo-Katan
defies Death
leaves.
Watch and comes back.
But this
is after like they murdered people,
right?
Yeah,
it wasn't just like I'll stand over.
This after they helped. After they helped overthrow Mandalore.
They overthrew Mandalore and then they. Yeah.
So this is a little deeper. So why would some? I think whoever tried to get Gideon was not aware of that the Darksaber had been lost already.
Mm. True.
I think that's why
the Mandalorians that tried to save Gideon, you think, were still
they just wanted
were still
this.
Bowing down to his rule because they thought he
or
had
they
this dark
or
saber
they
still.
Wanted the Darksaber back. They wanted to take it.
Ooh, okay. So now
so
I, mean?
Where
I have thoughts.
Is Gideon?
But
that's
then they
the
found out that he doesn't have it.
I have thoughts.
So where is he?
So
is he with a is he with a sect of Mandalorians?
Or
right
they're
now?
Just or they're just bounty hunters. They've been hired to. They're just
how about this?
Out doing stuff.
I have a thought because I do think that...
That was my overall non-dive deep thought.
No, I love it. Your overall thought was, let's go into the weeds.
Let's get right in.
My overall thought is, I loved it so much. If you were to ask me right now, it was my... I'm getting right on your thought, by the way. If you were to ask me right now, this is my favorite episode of the season.
Wow.
This guy.
Yeah, that's
full on.
Me. But...
Good thing we didn't ask.
I know.
On your point, I think at the end, let's go right to that.
Yeah.
The Lambda shuttle is it all of a sudden we immediately go, oh, Imperial, we know that shuttle. We have ties to Vader, all those things back from, you know, original trilogy. But how quickly he goes, Beskar, it's Beskar, Mandalorian? Like, he even thought, doesn't add up, I thought, was kind of his feeling. And then also, I think it is, a so let's look at what we've seen so far. This is just me thinking on the spot.
This is overall thoughts. Let's think.
Oh, so why would it be there?
What have we seen this season
so far? How
could
Beskar end up there? It doesn't make... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I don't think they're jetpacking into space.
What?
What we've seen so far this season is the Empire, which is... If we're to say... I know we haven't gotten anything specific with Thrawn, so let's even just say Gideon's faction, which may or may not include Thrawn in this big overall plan... of what's currently going on. Thrawn's definitely out there because they've mentioned him already.
Yep.
We don't know how involved he is in this particular thing or if that's going to be more in the Ahsoka show. But Gideon Plus, that's a good streaming service. You also get the Thrawn bundle.
Gideon Plus.
Sign up now. The Thrawn bundle. Thrawn where you get to watch Thrawn interpret your paintings for free.
6 months of the blue face. Right.
So that faction, Remnants, rebuilding of the Empire, has been obsessed almost with destroying Mandalore. They're the ones who bombed Mandalore under, we think, Gideon's orders, or they destroyed Mandalore in the Night of a Thousand Tears. Since then, we had a bunch in the last couple episodes. We had Bo-Katan's home get destroyed, bombed again
by Tyes,
and they were like, "Oh, Imperial Warlords? That doesn't make sense. It's not Imperial Warlords. It's Gideon or someone involved in the Empire." And now we have all of a sudden, what is something else that could hurt the Mandalorians even more? Is let's actually turn the Mandalorians, let's turn the New Republic against the Mandalorians. This is all a plot to take out the Mandalorians if you're looking at it from Gideon's, if we're saying Gideon's behind this.
Yeah.
Because they bombed their home planet, they're on the run, all this stuff has happened. But now there's Beskar there at the scene. Okay. Just because there's Beskar there, they're not the only ones who've ever had Beskar.
That's right.
We know the Empire had
the client
Beskar.
Had a bunch of Beskar.
I have
he
Beskar.
He gives them the Beskar. They're not the only ones who have Beskar.
Exactly.
And we know at least where this faction of the Mandalorians have been is unless it would be very interesting twist if the armor has been going off world. If the armor has been sneaking away, that'd be an awesome twist that she's somehow behind this. Because I do think there's something nefarious still possibly going on with the armor, and I'll touch on that too. But I think this could be a framing of we want to put the New Republic in Carson, not Teva, but Teva, which they said
Teva.
In this episode.
Yeah.
Carson Teva.
Leia Leah.
Against the Mandalorians, because that will also... Now, if the Empire couldn't finish them off, let's have the New Republic finish them off so they have no allies and they can never rebuild because we find them dangerous. That's kind of my overall thought as to what that could possibly be going on, but I don't know. Nate? Oh, how'd you like the episode? Overall thoughts on the episode, and then give us your deep dive 10-minute.
Love the episode. I'll just dive right into it. I see what you're saying. I think that's possible, too, that they planted maybe the Beskar there or Moff Gideon.
Is that the theory? Is that what you're thinking?
I was thinking that they planted, okay.
That
they were framing him.
Gotcha. Yeah, so to try and pin that.
Because why is it also just left? The ship's just left there? I mean, I guess when you break someone out, no one goes, "Oh, I'll clean up the ship and bring it with us."
Right.
But I thought maybe it's a frame.
Okay.
Yeah. I do feel like this episode, I know Derby mentioned it in the chat about progression. I think this episode does progress the story a little more.
Does. A lot more, yeah.
Because of the way it kind of ends with a direction for Bo-Katan and the Mandalorians as a whole, it seemed like we got a little bit of that towards the end. Even though a vast majority of it was the fight against the pirate, it was really an opportunity for them to come together, start a new place to build, and then send out Bo-Katan to do her thing, to gather more Mandalorians. So going back to what you said, I think that's a possibility. It could be that it was planted and Moff Gideon's got this design to try and take out the Mandalorians, especially now that he lost the Darksaber. He's not the ruler of Mandalore, so to speak, or at least doesn't have that right. But I just, there's something, and I could be wrong, but I just feel like when it comes to the armor, the helmet exchange with Bo-Katan was almost too sudden and too quick to like dismiss the tradition that they've had. And I get it. It makes sense. If she really, like, it could be that she really just came to the realization, we have to be able to accept both worlds, both ways of Mandalorians. and move on. We can still walk our creed,
yeah,
but we have to be willing and accepting of other Mandalorians and the way they follow the creed if we really want to rebuild. So that could be possible. But I think the way they addressed it, the actual cinematography of the scene with the armor intentionally in the shadow as the lights showing on Bo-Katan kind of gives off the darker vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's a lot to her character that's still mysterious. We don't know. And I find it interesting that she would all of a sudden flip a switch to be like, this is it, Bo-Katan. You're the one that walks both worlds. You should be the rightful ruler. You're the one that can bring us all together, when we saw her in the Book of Boba Fett blaming everything on Bo-Katan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen her address that.
Yeah.
So to me, it seems like I'm blaming all this on her. It's all her fault. But it's someone who's not going to go and address it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might blame you for something, but I'm not going to go and confront about you. I'm going to act like we're all good and conspire behind your back type deal.
Yeah.
So I think if she is up to something, whether it's with Moff Gideon or whatever, that she's doing it without maybe even the whole rest of the creed knowing. Because I do like that we got Paz Vizsla.
Yeah.
Finally showing respect for Din Djarin. That was cool. That was cool. I do think that with that, though, even though it showed that he respects Mando, that no matter what, he's still the right-hand man to the armorer, basically.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just find it interesting. I think there's still a lot more to know about the armorer. I keep going back to those conversations that both Bo-Katan had about the armorer and their, you know, religious cult and how they left during the Night of a Thousand Tears. They weren't there. Why would they do that? Maybe they knew something was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of these pieces that if Moff Gideon led the attack, like they said he did, of the Night of a Thousand Tears, destroying Mandalore, and they decide to leave, to me, that's already fishy. They're already potentially a sect of Death Watch, the Children of the Watch. So it's a lot of these things of the history of where they come from. They follow the same creed as Death Watch, that type of deal. Restoring Mandalore to how it used to be in the ancient ways, warrior-like.
Yep.
You combine all these things, and it just makes me skeptical. I think that the armor, there's more to her than what we're seeing, and that she could potentially be telling Bo-Katan to go do this to either, one, just get her out. Like, great, you can do this, great. We don't... Like, she's threatened by her, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe what she says is actually true, and she believes it,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean she wants her hanging around everybody here.
Yeah.
And reminding everybody that she once ruled Mandalore, right? So, I don't know. I think what's interesting for me is the Darksaber and where they go from here with Din, where the armorer and the creed go from here with Din having the Darksaber. If they really do believe this idea of the Darksaber meaning what it does.
Yeah. I believe that that may also go the path of lore.
Get rid of it.
Of lore. Mm. That it used to be Excalibur is what was needed to rule.
Yeah.
I also just wonder.
Now
it's kind of cool.
We just want good ideas. As a ruler.
I wonder if.
Not just a sword. Just
survival.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Bo-Katan is the center of the Mandalorian in season 4?
I definitely think that she
Djarin
is going to be the one to restore them.
Are we going to shift? Is it going to be the continuing story now of Bo-Katan?
Who is the Mandalorian?
Who is the Mandalorian? Mm. I don't know. I wonder because Grogu has got a path to follow. Mando has a path to follow. Yeah, I could see how that's possible. I feel like it's the scene where they saved the foundling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that had a greater impact on this group.
Yeah.
Huge impact that this outsider, who they see as a infidel, comes in and she brings Mando back. And now, without any reason, like no reason, charges off, discovers the lair, leads the attack and actually directs and leads them on the way to do it, risks her life to save him. And I think she earned the respect of all of them there, including the armorer.
Yeah, and Paz
in terms of
finding
Absolutely.
His kid and leading that whole mission.
I think you could be right. What Here's my last kind of thoughts on some of the why I'm a little hesitant or why I'm still a little bit, I don't know.
To be clear, I could see it going both ways. For
yeah,
sure.
I definitely
could see her
while
totally
watching
being
it.
All good and meaning everything she yeah. says. Yeah. If that happens, I'll be like, okay, that makes sense.
Put it this way.
But there's part
all
of me
of
that
us
could
expected,
see it going the other way.
All of us have expected that there was going to be a moment, that there was going to be a shift. We also said right. we thought there was going to be a shift, and Uncle even said, I think that Bo is going to take her helmet off. We thought it might be in defiance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us predicted that the shift would come with her coming in. And so this is why I'm a little skeptical of it. Just not that we need to predict everything that's going to happen. But the way that she says, remove your helmet. Take off your helmet. And then she's like,
this is not
what?
The way.
But this is not the way. Do you respect me? And it's then it's immediately like,
forget the
way. I'm in a position of power. I do.
Forget
do
the
you,
way.
Do you listen to what I do? You respect what I say? Do you respect my station?
That's another thing.
And so then I thought like, well, that's interesting. She's even like, listen. It reminded me, this is the only
like,
thing
yeah,
I say
that's the way, unless I say otherwise.
It reminded me of cult leader-esque.
Yeah.
Now, even though I'll say that 98% of what we've seen this season, I think that hasn't shown a ton of the armor potentially doing things that look nefarious, that look bad, that look anything like that. But when she says that, it did immediately make me think of, a lot of cult leaders in the past will say, this is, for lack of a better term, this is the way. This is the way we do things. Although I personally am able to break the rules if I want to, because what I say ultimately goes. That's
and
I
when
the
I
highest
say
power.
Do this, that is now the way.
Right.
And I just thought it was interesting because when she said take off the helmet, immediately, did any of you guys think, the armor is going to take off her helmet too?
I thought maybe.
I thought she might take off her helmet also. And then she doesn't.
Yeah.
And then she's like, follow me. And then she walks out. And then I thought, she's going to have a big display in front of everybody. And now the armor might take off her helmet. We might see Paz Vizsla's face. We might have everyone take off their helmet.
Now they're all going to.
And now instead she just marches her out. She told her to take her helmet off. And then she comes out and they're like, apostate. She's got her helmet off. And she's like, she walks, Bo-Katan walks both worlds. And,
yeah.
So I'm not saying that there's no sincerity there or that there is necessarily automatically a deeper, darker thing. But if I was to speculate why she might do that, if she doesn't have Bo-Katan's best interest at heart, or if there is something else involved.
Yeah.
It could be a response to how Paz Vizsla spoke up in favor of Mando.
Mando.
And she could be a little bit threatened by the fact that she feels like she's losing her group a little bit. That this Mandalorian came in, and Mando, who we've all said, we want to see Mando as a leader. Or we want to see, he's never done anything, because we even said,
I think
him being a leader
sees
of
the
Mandalore,
connection between Mando and Bo-Katan and is threatened by both of them being together.
That it was, that she
she's
was going to
end up pinning them against each other.
She was
maybe
a little bit, and this is, again, all speculation. Yeah. She could, next episode could start with them, with her saying, I'd like to take my helmet off too, and this is great. And now, I'm so glad and all about,
why have we been keeping our helmet
off? It turns out, there's a number of ways I think this could go where she is 100% just trying to do what's best for Mandalore and best for people, and there's no second secret motive to it. But if I was to assume secret motive of what I think it could be, when we're waiting for Mando as an audience, and where he has the Darksaber, we're wondering, what would Mando be like as a leader? And then all of a sudden, he has this big follow me moment. Not like follow me because I'm your leader, but
the talking
he
stick.
Actually has the...
right.
He is the talking stick, and then he actually rallies the troops a little bit, or at least gets them
enough
that Paz speaks up on his behalf.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this is the way, this is the way, and then this is the way. And then she chimes in and stuff.
Right.
Kind of after watch. She's
anybody
not the first
else?
To speak up,
yeah.
but she waits. This is the way. And so all I could say is I could see that she sees all that happening and thinks, the way I've been doing things, not that I'm necessarily wrong, but the way that I'm doing things, we've been in exile. We've diminished in numbers for a while. We're hiding on this, dinosaur beach where everyone gets eaten and taken every other day. This is not going great.
Yeah. And
but then also these two come in, and it's not necessarily that, I think that they're right, we should go follow them, but maybe I take a step back here. We go to Mandalore, and when things don't go according to plan, they're gonna see why you can't follow Bo-Katan Or they're going to see this was not my doing. Like, I'm not going to take the fall for what's about to happen if she thinks that it's not going to go their way, or that, or maybe she'll help it go awry.
Yeah.
And like, just under their leadership, we've seen in all different shows and even in reality, there's political scheming of, okay, you're the president, well, watch out, because the vice president might do something to undercut you, or might do something.
It also depends,
I don't know,
how evil she, like, if she is, now we're just totally speculating, but if she, if the armor is,
she could also
bad,
be great.
She could be great. If she is,
but they have called
bad,
it a
though,
cult on the show.
Yeah.
That's a red flag that I have not forgotten.
If, and that was by Bo-Katan, who was part of essentially a cult at once.
She said, listen, I know cults. I know cults.
Yep.
But I think if the armor is actually, you know, bad, what is the extent of that? Because if this whole thing is deemed, like you're saying, to her having power, does it date back? Is she willing to work with Moff Gideon, destroy, like, be, not be a part of Mandalore? That doesn't necessarily mean she helped in destroying Mandalore, but if she was like, hey, we're done for, I see this coming, I want out, I'm not gonna, like, I'm not gonna stick around to be a part of all this. That doesn't necessarily mean she helped on the attack, but she could have easily known it was coming and be like, I'm gonna jump ship before, and use it as an opportunity to,
or could
everybody else gets destroyed, blame it on Bo-Katan because she's the leader at the time, and then when the time comes, now I've gallied, I've, you know, gathered my group, and I can be the one to rise up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Also, Paz Vizsla is one who, in the past, has said, you know, Moff Gideon should have been killed for his crimes, and not taken.
That's why I think,
to trial. So, which is interesting.
I think if the armor is doing this, she's duping everybody, even Paz.
Yeah, I don't know.
My take is
super shocking. So I don't know if it, I don't know.
I beg to differ.
You can beg
all you
want.
No. I really think that Bo-Katan sees that she misjudged this whole group of people. Yeah. They love Mandalore, and they love each other, and they fight for each other, and they're willing to die for the creed.
For a youngling who they just
found. And she loves that. She's found connection that she didn't have before.
That's true.
And I believe that the armorer has seen something in Bo-Katan that she misjudged also.
Yeah, that she's realized maybe they're a little too rich.
Bo-Katan actually was willing to come in,
knowing that she wouldn't be accepted,
as the heir of Mandalore, and submit to their rules. In fact, it was a test when she said to Bo-Katan, do you trust my station? Why wouldn't Bo-Katan go,
No.
Why would I trust you?
I'm the ruler of Mandalore.
She submitted again and said, I do. And she also was so bought in that she was like, I can't take my helmet off. You could see, like, wait a minute, I can't take my helmet off. I really think it's, and I could see how it could go that way.
I like that it's like this, though, that we don't know.
That's why I think it's good writing.
I feel like it's simpler. I feel like it's simpler than that. That they've come and they see something in Bo-Katan that wasn't there because she fought for them. And the armorer sees something in that Bo-Katan sees something in them that it's not just some zealot cult that they're motivated by. And it started with Din Djarin and his commitment to bathe in the waters, to risk his life, to follow the creed.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me, and I think it might be not a trick, it might just be the path they used, is how quickly she switched.
I think it's, well, that's,
it's troubling, but I was going with it as it was necessary
and
to move the story.
And sometimes that's not unrealistic. Sometimes people fight, and they realize, this isn't right. And they flip. They can flip like that.
They could.
The only other thing, too, about how quick it was also,
because Bo-Katan pretty quickly shifted, too.
The Mythosaur.
She's like, okay, I wear my helmet forever now.
Her discussion of the Mythosaur, it seemed to me like she was fighting the Bo-Katan thing until she realized, wait, this is a threat, and came up immediately, shifted to a new plan.
Yeah.
And another reason why I say that is when Bo-Katan first brought up the Mythosaur, her response was basically, you didn't see it. It's not real. You see tons of things when you bathe in the living waters.
Yeah.
Didn't buy it.
Yeah.
She comes here. They haven't had a conversation since that we've seen. Comes here and immediately was like, totally flip the switch. Like, you've seen the Mythosaur. And it's like, out of nowhere, now you believe her?
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a shift of plan or thought to be like, you've seen the Mythosaur, using that now to her advantage on the other side of this plan, to using her of like, what's one way to get someone to buy in? If you're a threat to someone who you think could overrule you, tell them you're going to be great. Mm-hmm. What did Palpatine do to Anakin? You are the one. You're the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
You do this.
Yeah.
With the intention of letting that feed him, mm-hmm. fuel him to where he, but then still, in doing so, you're still the one in control because I'm feeding you all of that information. So yeah. I'm still the one in control. For me, that kind of seems like the armorer to Bo-Katan. She's like, as long as I can tell her these things and she is submissive to me and what I think she should do, even though I'm telling her she's all these things, she can be the ruler. She's still submissive to what I'm telling her to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I was interested in the discussion of the armorer talking about the furnace. On Mandalore.
Yeah.
That she knew it. The forge. She knew it and saw it and worked with it.
100 hammers.
But Bo-Katan never knew her.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
At the time. She would have been.
Yeah. True.
We don't know how the armor is.
Yes.
Bo-Katan was a little girl. Where does that fit into the story
or
that
was
she
not?
Had.
She was ruling Mandalore. Well, she was.
We don't know how old the armor is. Right. Younger.
True.
Younger, yeah.
She wouldn't be a little
Bo-Katan's
girl.
Bo-Katan's supposed to be, I believe, a teenager in Clone Wars, is what I had heard.
Yeah.
Like an older teenager
in Clone Wars.
I just found it interesting that she has a clear recollection. The Night of a Thousand Tears. It's not a story she heard. It's something she experienced.
Yeah.
It's not a story that
was
Jedi
there. It's possible that she was connected. I mean, we know from the helmet that we think, of course, that's an offshoot, offshoot of Death Watch.
Mm. Yeah. I also know that the Creed, I mean, in the flashbacks dating back to the first season when we see Mando getting saved of him when he was first found as a foundling.
Yeah.
Those people, which are essentially the Creed that he's with now, you don't see it on any of their armor patches anymore, but in the flashbacks, you see the Death Watch logo on their armor. So it was Death Watch. It was them. That was the Creed who saved Mando.
Yeah.
And brought in foundlings. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they still mm-hmm. follow all the stuff they did before.
Yeah.
Because they're not wearing that anymore.
In fact, it's
different.
Yeah, it feels like the literal name Children of the Watch is this is the generation right after Death Watch.
Yeah.
Like that these are like the Death Watch raised and these are because Mando was a child taken in by Death Watch. These are the Children of the Watch, whether it's Mando, Armor, none of them have a huge age difference as far as Pedro Pascal's in his 40s. He's probably around
that. I don't know.
We haven't said the word Zeb yet. Why is that?
Or Tim Meadows.
There's
so much we dove straight in. So let's get to some more parts of the episode.
Yeah.
We can keep
Zeb. I was shocked.
Like what?
Also, the casual nature.
Any Rebels character, he would have been the last one I would have expected to be in this.
Exactly.
Because remember, he's also one of the only characters, only Rebels characters has not been mentioned to even be in Ahsoka yet.
Right.
Now, I think we've even talked on the podcast, just because they hadn't announced ahead of time that he was going to be in Ahsoka, we thought that he might be in it. But we had said on here, what would live-action Zeb even look like? I thought he looked awesome.
I thought the animation looked great.
Who knew we'd get that one first?
He looked very much like the realistic graphics from Fallen
great.
Order.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not Zeb, but it's the same species.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as I heard Steve Bloom's voice, I knew immediately.
I knew immediately.
Right when he started talking, I was like, gosh, it is. Because immediately I go, Zeb? New Republic? And
I love it. There's dots now of like, last we saw Zeb, he goes off with, what's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
I'm drawing a blank.
I don't remember. Oh, you're talking about Imperial Kallus?
Kallus, found out his home planet. They survived.
Yep.
So he goes back. But now Kallus, I guess they did their thing, and now he's back with the New Republic. Where's Kallus? Give me a live action. If there was a live action Kallus, who should play him?
Kallus is great.
Oh, man. John Cena?
Chris Evans.
Are you serious?
It would be someone who's got the pull off that beard long
Chris
hair,
Evans like, from Infinity War.
Infinity War. He's got the beard
with the long hair.
The on the run Captain America.
Yeah.
Chris Evans is great.
Well, I told my kids, I challenged them at dinner. I said, can y'all guess who Mike's favorite Star Wars character is from Mando? They're like, Mando? No. Grogu? No. Micah goes, the Rebel pilot guy.
Yes.
Carson Teva.
I love him. As soon as he popped him on screen, I was sitting with Abby going, yes.
He's great.
And she loves him because I can't even remember the actor's full name. But he is in a show, one of Abigail's favorite shows called Kim's Convenience, which is a comedy show. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. He's the father of a Korean family.
Yeah.
And he's like... Listen, snarky, makes jokes.
I just
all
came
this
to
stuff.
Let you know your friend's in trouble.
But he's also in real life, because I've seen his Instagram. He posted a ton of stuff like last year whenever he was cast in Mandalorian. And he's like, no, I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. And then posted a bunch of pictures. And it's like, here's me at 20 conventions over the years. And he's like dressed up. He's like,
oh my
it's God. Not like, oh yeah, it. I watch Star Wars. Sorry.
Totally in.
He's like, no, yeah, I make my own. Like, I had my own pilot suit that I made.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he even wore some of his own costumes and stuff in previous episodes that he had made.
I love it. Did you guys notice
Carson Meadows
in that scene?
That was funny.
In that scene with Zeb, I believe, and I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yep, Deborah Chow sitting there.
Deborah Chow and Dave Filoni are sitting at the table.
Oh, I need to go back.
Talking.
I missed Filoni.
That makes sense because him and Filoni were partners.
But
I think Rick Famuyiwa,
you. I think he had a hat, like a cowboy
hat
on. In the show.
Oh, man.
I was like,
and jeans.
As soon as I saw the cowboy hat, I was like, that's Dave Filoni.
Yeah. And a story, and a storyboard. He was sitting there playing out the next.
Yeah, practical.
George. He's doing the George.
He's drawing Ahsoka.
George. Zeb. Digital.
So what a shock seeing Zeb. Also, I love that they did it casually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are moments when it's so good seeing off in the distance Cad Bane.
Yeah.
In the classic Western, because that's how you introduce a big bad villain.
Right.
But then also I like that
it was just
Carson's
there.
Getting a little Skype call, and he's like, huh, and then he's like, all right, what's going on? And I'm like, Zeb, what in the world?
That's
awesome.
I love it. I thought he was great. I thought he looked great.
Awesome.
He's got the blue underneath, orange.
Carson Teva seems to be the only one with his thumb on the whole asylum.
This is
I saw
madness.
A ton of people sharing his quote about how like something bad is going on out
something's
there.
Before it becomes big enough,
yeah, it'll be too
by the time,
late.
Yeah. Yeah, by the time it becomes big enough for you to actually do something about it, it's going to be too late.
Well, I saw people sharing that and then sharing the Force Awakens shot of Kylo Ren blowing up 8 planets at once. And
something's
like,
coming. There it is.
Coming. And
Carson
was it Ilya Kane?
Yep.
Who?
Kane, the way they tied
who
in
he
that
says,
episode.
He's like, you didn't rehabilitate. You were captured.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. He didn't think about the fact, you didn't apologize until after you had no other choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
What'd she say? I was liberated.
He totally gets it.
I was
She's
liberated.
Like, no, I was liberated.
For some, it might be true, but for many others.
No, he knows her, though.
No. She
I liked that
she
he.
She is pure evil.
Yeah.
I like that he sees right through her, or that he at least is like, listen, you can wear the new uniform.
You can do whatever you want. I'm taking everything you say with a grain of salt.
I don't forget, especially because Carson's been on the trail of this whole story that we've been following.
Yeah.
And she's from Moff Gideon's ship.
Right.
Like, yeah. She's like, listen, you may fool other people.
Come on.
Just because you were on the Empire and they're now on the New Republic doesn't mean that all of a sudden you've forgotten your old ways
also,
or this or that.
I don't know, red flag based off all of her suggestions so far?
I mean, what she said right there.
Leave him.
Carson, who
by
we
the way,
love,
they're not part of the New Republic.
They're not part of the New Republic.
They declined the charter.
Maybe that'd be a good way to show the importance of being
spoken
and
like.
She's literally said in front of the New Republic,
spoken
in
like
front
a true
of
imperial.
Tim Meadows.
You may file when ready. Right?
Yeah, she's like, well, maybe it'd be a good message to send.
And Tim Meadows is like, yeah,
yeah, you know.
Tim
what?
Meadows is like, listen, Rian Johnson's he had me in this poker face episode, and now, I just love Tim Meadows is now in actual Star Wars
right.
and Star Wars adjacent
and
things.
Jason, right,
so
right.
Love seeing Tim Meadows.
It's such
I
a perfect,
it. I love
great.
It.
It's a great cast
yeah.
of him because it's like this apathetic, feels kind of funny, but he can get serious. Like, wait a second now, hold on a second.
Yeah.
But really no real
not,
power.
Not,
it
no,
just like, feels right.
Not quite
felt,
in tune with everything that's going
on. It was a great.
Bureaucratic, taking things too lightly, not
yep,
understand.
Yep,
it's perfect.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So let's, one, funny. One more great thing about that
Zeb?
Scene.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, one more great thing about that scene, because I love now that tying into Kane's storyline of what we said of what happened with the Pershing and Kane episode, seeing more New Republic, like seeing how some things are not going as well as they had hoped. Because we know what happens later as far as where the galaxy goes.
Yeah.
But it's always been, I remember when we first saw Force Awakens, that I was always like, man, as a child I grew up thinking, even though that's foolish, it's not reality, that you defeated the Empire and everyone sang off into the distance
that's
and
it.
They never had troubles ever right. again.
Happily
not,
ever
they
after.
Lived happily
that's
right.
not what happens when an empire falls or like there's different
no, there's loyalists
still people out there. There's the other powers. Pirates
they said
taking
it today.
Over.
They said, oh, yeah, Moff Gideon, you know, they're gone. I said, okay, yeah, but those ranks are going to quickly
so
now we find out somehow Moff Gideon has returned.
Somehow
they
Moff
said it
Gideon
in Bad Batch. That's what it was.
Oh.
They said, yeah, and we take out because
Saul. One will just be replaced.
Saul goes, we can take him out. And they go, yeah, and those ranks will quickly be replaced.
Replaced by new people, right.
So it's like, yeah, you're doing damage, but how much damage are you going to do? Mm-hmm.
Beaumont Kim's going to come in and explain how somehow Moff Gideon has returned. Dark magic cloning. Secrets only the Sith.
Only the Sith knew.
And
the
apparently.
And everyone on Tantus.
Kim and Owens.
And now
and
the Empire.
The Empire.
And Krennic.
Now the New Republic.
We're the only ones who don't know.
After Pershing.
Yeah, we're the only ones who don't know. Honestly, we could have asked anybody.
don't forget about the Emperor.
So what I love about what they're painting. So one great thing about what they're showing with the New Republic is
and everybody
I like Gory. So first of all, Gory and Shard was great in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
awesome.
I love that he
his
literally.
His big lips. He had to get blown up.
I saw.
He got the biggest mouth.
Hilarious.
So I saw great. Nate Joseph Scrimshaw on their Force Center podcast and he was talking about the. He said,
him
I know a lot
hologram.
Of people call it a. Like he's got like seaweed. He said, I think it almost looks like the inside of like what's in your Easter basket. it's the fake grass.
That's right.
Grass. It's the grass
mixed
filling.
With Davy Jones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But exactly. When Gory and Shard laughs great. At Greef Karga, when Greef's like, "Oh, we'll contact the New Republic," he's like, "Oh, they can't even handle things in the
yeah.
What I've seen, you're not even part of the.
Not even part of. Exactly. So I like they already right then are showing that the New Republic is spread thin.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not
responding. They even said they're not. They said they're not responding. They haven't responded to calls in weeks. As far as
people that
Tim
are
Meadows,
in the New
like,
Republic,
well, they're not gonna. They've been swamped. And so, what I think they do a good job in the Tim Meadows conversation is both they show that Tim Meadows and the New Republic as a whole. I like to just call him Tim Meadows instead of Tuttle.
Yeah,
Tim Meadows doesn't care. No, but that Tuttle,
Officer Tuttle,
and the New Republic as a whole doesn't quite either. They're kind of refusing. Like, listen, we defeated the Empire. Like, quit trying to make things bad. Things are good, and then so because of that, they have their head in the sand. They're like, we don't want to accept that some bad things are happening.
That's
or we're kind
right.
of not focused on it. Along with the real world truth, sometimes of just there aren't enough resources to go around.
Yeah,
and he's like, listen, we have people that are, you know, that are on board in, you know, in the, not the alliance, what's the word, but in the program that we're protecting, that are a part of it. This is a neutral planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. We're still trying to put out these other fires. There's other things. And he's kind of just like, listen, I'm sorry. I understand. It's that. He even said, listen, what you're, he said, shut it off. He takes it. He goes, listen.
I get the
from
gist
what I've
of
heard,
it.
I get the gist of it. Doesn't sound great. Like he's not like, oh, there's nothing. He's like, listen, doesn't sound great.
Doesn't sound great.
But, you know, good luck to him. Like, we can't help you. And even there, you're like, okay. Both the people don't understand, except for Carson Teva, don't understand truly what's at risk. And then also, the government is in this position where you're trying to recover from an empire.
Right.
And there are so many different planets, so many different things going on. That it's very hard to keep a lot of the in this moment of not, you know, unorganized chaos of pirates taking over all these different things. It's hard to keep your eye on everything. And so they're like, well, listen, you might be right. And if the pirates get the planet, pirates get the planet.
Yeah.
But that's happening all over the place. And only Carson's like, listen, we're connecting the dots here. There's a lot of what's going on. And then all of a sudden, when it becomes too big, like you said, flash forward, Kylo Ren's. They're destroying planets.
It'll be too late. I can't help but I see Zeb, and not, I mean I immediately get excited, and I'm like, oh wait a second, that means he's gonna live through another another Empire rebellion.
He's gonna go around again.
From his point of view, he was there from the beginning, and finally they take out the Empire. Now he's living through it all again with the First Order building back up. So it's like every time they introduce a new character, I love it, but I'm also like, do they last? Because
as soon as
we
you
know
defeat
the fate
that,
eventually,
bad stuff is coming.
Not
as
necessarily
soon as you
of individuals, but we know the first order takes.
And then
in.
As soon as you defeat that first order, the final order's on deck, just waiting. They're just waiting. So you got a lot of wars ahead of you, Zeb.
True. Hopefully and they it. Show. Do they what show the it? Ghost? Wasn't that a thing in the Rise of Skywalker? The ghost pull up behind.
They did show in the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. The ghost is
the
there.
The ghost
yeah.
pull up.
It's one. Like if you screenshot it, it's
one,
of the
it's
ships
one of the
there.
Ships there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, they're still around. Gosh. I guess Zeb made it through it all. Hopefully,
made it through.
I wonder how long those things live.
Just a few
oh,
other.
That's a good point. Alien made
Chewy-ish. Considering it was the original design.
Yeah.
And he was what?
50.
You look great.
50.
Yeah.
You look great.
Yeah, I speak a little.
Yeah, I speak a little.
Real quick, because I know we have to get to Bad Batch stuff.
We got to.
One thing that I
good
was
batch,
thinking when we were watching, and I love this episode. I said on record.
It's
I
your
think
favorite.
It's my favorite of the season so
wow.
far.
Wow.
He said it's his favorite.
I'm not sure
ever.
Which one's my favorite.
I think this one's my favorite so far. Just because
I don't know.
There were some moments.
I
have like been
so
waiting
different.
All season to see the armorer wants to speak with you. And then Paz walks out of the room. And I was like, this is
here
the conversation,
yeah.
or at least part of. I don't think this is the last conversation.
No,
this
no,
is
no,
not
no.
the last
you
conversation.
So is this the
have.
Last we see of Bo-Katan this season? Is she actually going to leave and just that's it for this for her?
Oh, I don't think so. No, she's going to get. She's going to get
going
Sabine.
To gather people.
Going to get Sabine.
She got an endorsement from
Costa
Rica.
I saw
she's
people
get
speculating if she's actually going out to gather all these Mandalorians. Is it possible we get a Boba Fett? Back in Mandalore.
Maybe.
That was
well,
another
I thought
thing.
Din gave her a nod of approval. Like, he didn't say, you're now an apostate. He gave her a good. This is great.
Yeah, I do think it's because Din is
you.
So bought into whatever the armorer says.
How about the fact that the armorer also.
He goes, this is the way.
Maybe.
How about that the armorer also kind of like, it almost was like threatening? Or I don't know. When she said to, and she's like, this is the way. She's like, it's, I don't remember the exact quote, but she's like. It's not, you know, we need more than just a few to walk the way. We need,
yeah.
It's not just, and she's like, yeah, it's like more than just, and she's like, oh, okay. Like we have to all be 100% on board.
We gotta be in.
To do this, we gotta go get everybody.
Go get them.
But
yeah.
Sabine's
go get
out
Boba
there.
Fett.
Sabine is out there. We just got Zeb.
Do you think we
yeah,
get Sabine
right.
this season?
Oh my goodness!
In Mando,
I think
I thought that at the
that
beginning of this season. But
I actually
I don't
think,
know.
I think the odds just went up though.
Yeah,
because Bo-Katan knows Sabine.
We're rustling up.
Bo-Katan, well, yeah.
Bo-Katan
somewhere.
Knows Sabine, and Sabine's out there, and she said we need all the Mandalorians. And Zeb, they just showed Zeb.
Yeah.
I think Sabine. The odds of her
wow.
being out there just went up.
We saw
here, we
Zeb.
Thought they were going to be introducing Ahsoka would show up in this. And
I
they're
still
be
think
introducing...
it's possible we get Ahsoka.
How about the
others?
Fact that we've been saying it's
I
be Ahsoka and
possible.
Thrawn, and first one we get is... Oh, what's going on? I'm Zeb.
Zeb's
just, sitting there with his goatee.
My yeah, prediction is Sabine shows up in the by the end of the season.
I honestly think
yeah.
just knowing, just marketing-wise, with the Ahsoka show coming up, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we get Ahsoka, Sabine, if we get both of them still. Like
all of them.
It wouldn't shock me at all because obviously they'd want to try to use it to
she tracks down market. Sabine, she's going to track down.
Because we talked about this. Yeah. She's known. She knew where Ahsoka was.
Right.
When she told Mando, so they've obviously been in touch.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, I know a Jedi, but I don't know where. Good luck finding
last
her.
Last time
it
I
was,
saw
no,
her,
I, she's here on
she's
this
right
planet.
Now.
So it does make all me right. wonder, maybe she goes to her and says, because she knows Ahsoka and Sabine. Maybe that's how we get Ahsoka. She goes to Ahsoka
Man.
And says, where's Sabine? Mm.
Could be. One other thing I wanted to point out with Mando before we go to Bad Batch. This was something someone had... maybe it was Star Wars Explained. Someone had posted in one of their videos of some small things you might not have caught in the episode. One reference, when Greef Karga is awarding them their land, and like, no, from over here to over here. And he says all the way to Bullock's Canyon. And that was a reference to Jeremy Bullock, who is the original Boba Fett,
who
recently passed away.
Yep.
Yeah.
The original Mandalorian. And that the Mandalorian. Yep.
The original one, that's where
the
they're going
to
go.
The original Mandalorian. Yeah. So that was cool. The one other thing I wanted to say is when we were watching and Greef's given this big emotional, like, you may not have a home world, but you have a home. And I was like, awesome. And then Mando's talking to them to rally them ahead of time, saying, we should go live and the sunlight, our children, all this stuff. We can live on Navarro. When all that happened, I went like, yeah. And then I thought, wait, then I can go get Mandalore? So at first, right when I was thinking that, yeah. I thought, wait, are they going to live? Did they give up on Mandalore? Didn't they just find out that it's
I
not?
I don't know if it's
so
just
I thought
a place
that at first,
to not hide, like a place to not keep moving. We can rebuild
same,
here, and then when we're ready, let's go to Mandalore.
Within the same episode, they all of a sudden at the end, obviously, say, now we need to go take Mandalore. Yeah. But what Grief at the end when they're like, yeah, now we need to go take Mandalore. Grief's like, I just offered you this land.
I just gave you the land.
I just gave you the keys.
I like, think they're right, using it quick. As a stationary, you know. As
but
a,
they initially said, like, this be a home. Let's go live on Navarro. But I guess livable. Maybe they're like, let's live there now.
At least it's not a, like a toxic waste. To, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's you
I
can breathe
it was
the
also
air
cool.
on Mandalore,
they don't
but
have
a,
to jump around.
It's a wasteland.
People knowing where they're at.
And it was
There's
cool
no infrastructure.
Seeing,
yeah.
It was cool seeing the Mandalorians be the actual heroes of Navarro, a place where they used to hide in the sewers.
I also got to say, if you're a Grief Karga, is there any hesitation to having them live, like, why is that rewarding to them?
Mm-hmm.
It's rewarding to him,
mm-hmm.
to his people. It's like, if I were him, I'd be begging all of them to stay and live there.
Yeah.
Well, it's rewarding.
Got a whole army.
It's rewarding
you.
For them, though, because they live right now on Crocodile Lane, on Dinosaur Beach.
You know what I wanted to hear from Mando? I wanted him to go, wait a second. I walk in both worlds, too. You He's told like, me I was an apostate.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was just walking in both worlds.
Just walking both worlds. Yes.
Where'd the birds go?
the
foundlings.
The foundlings?
How'd they come
the
back?
New foundlings.
I wanted to see armor. I want to see them come out with their armor. The armored foundlings.
They just have the Grogu chest plates. They're all red horns.
I actually thought we just want our children to play in the sun. What? Under helmets?
I know.
Exactly.
They're not going to see
on.
The sun.
They're in the
Isn't
dark
Isn't it beautiful?
Always.
Put this on. You'll never see it again.
Put this on. That was great. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Love Mando.
It's bad great. Batch.
Bad freaking batch.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It was bad. It was good. Bad. It was a good. It was a. It
overall.
Was a bad, good.
Overall thoughts bad. On Bad Batch. On Bad Batch. This, on
First
this,
thought?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, we thought this might be the end of the show.
It is not.
There like, could be eight
it
more
could be
seasons.
The end of the show.
I
three
will
weeks
say,
ago.
Yeah.
With 15 minutes remaining in the episode, I thought it might be the end of the show.
Well, they gave a little hint, like, they're going to settle down and make
when
it.
When he says, you
know,
we should live here, and I thought,
oh my
wait,
gosh.
But what about, and for my mind was going, wait, what about Crosshair? What about
I was
finding
going, yeah,
out?
Same.
But they were saying their final,
what about
like,
Crosshair?
We could go here, we're not, you know, the galaxy is changing, Omega, and so have we, and all this stuff. And
okay
I'm like,
with you.
That's right. And she's like, with, and I was,
and then it
I
ends
like,
with,
oh, no.
And then it ends with Hunter. We will stop at nothing to bring her back. It's like
so
whatever he says.
So overall
like,
thoughts, Uncle.
I loved it, fantastic. I like that we got both of them together. We got an hour of Bad Batch today, which was so great. We predicted that we would lose one of the batch.
Yeah,
man,
I don't think any of us successfully. We didn't. I don't think any of us said that it would be Tech. But
yeah,
we could see
know.
Like the foreshadowing coming.
They built him up this season a lot.
We I don't know if we predicted that. I think we predicted that.
We thought Echo
Omega
was the
would
most.
Be taken.
You that, I think said Omega would be taken.
I thought
either
that
this
she
episode
would
or end of the season.
Similar
or,
to what Grogu we
yeah.
had
yeah.
that separation.
I think you
thing.
Said that.
I thought that might happen because. But then I told Hannah, I was like my daughter. We were watching. I said it could be one of those endings. Where they end it in such a way that they could come back.
Yeah.
But they
also,
don't have to.
Yeah. It
but
feels
they
like
did
now,
not
it feels
do that.
Like they have to.
No, they absolutely made it clear that they are planning.
He pulled all the punches and said, if we don't do it now, every single fan is going to be angry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Loved it.
It was
I loved
great.
It. I thought it was fantastic. I felt the same thing 15 minutes left. I'm like, but what about Crosshair? Is this the end? No, it can't be. It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
Extremely emotional, pushing the story forward a ton.
Yep.
Some close predictions that we thought maybe not 100% accurate, but we saw some of the stuff we had discussed.
Yep.
That, you know, coming up with, what's her name? Dr.
You're talking about Emery.
Emery?
Emery Carr?
Carr.
I'm your sister. We did not call a sister. We were saying mom.
We said mom or like DNA, whatever.
That's
but
really
it's sister.
Just that's really just another clone. Like
exactly.
They're
yeah.
her brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned mom.
I did.
It's interesting.
I mentioned mom as a sense of like
sister.
Got the DNA from her.
Yeah.
Now we know his sister.
Yeah. It's like essentially how
female clone.
Yeah. It's like essentially Boba is, or Boba is Jango's brother. If you look at it like
exactly.
that way, like he raised him as father's son, but he's a clone himself.
Right. And that's so.
Yeah,
we got
amazing.
That at the end.
Gosh.
But Crosshair was still out of it, so we're going to get something there. I just, man, we got some good stuff with Tarkin and Director Krennic.
Krennic.
You guys know I love me some Krennic.
Some Saw
also,
coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In a classic.
I know, perfect.
Aren't you a little short for a Stormtrooper outfit? What is that?
Right.
He did, and also that felt so timely after what we just came off of with Andor.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like, oh yeah, duh. Like even though this is a different, this is
of course Saw would be going after Tarkin, like not someone small.
Andor is closer,
he's going after the Council.
Mm-hmm. Even though Andor is closer to A New Hope than this is, it was like, oh yeah, we know Saw is already an extremist.
Yeah.
He's already what you would do that to save a few soldiers? We're like, yeah,
right.
You don't
right,
you bomb your own people. Like immediately we're like, Saw, dude. And he's like, oh, yeah, you would do that for a couple of clones?
And they even said, like, we just need the ship because we got to track where he's going.
Yeah. The overall.
And now they definitely needed it because they got Omega.
Overall, absolutely loved it. As much as I just raved about Mando, if you were to say which of these episodes exceeded my expectations more, Bad Batch.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Batch
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
That
was
absolutely one of, I need to go through Bad Batch and think. What are other favorite episodes of Bad Batch? This is easily one of my favorite Bad Batch episodes.
I want season 3
if not
now
the most.
Because
yeah, I don't know if it's
awesome.
I want it now.
Well, I can express why I think it's such a fascinating show. I think it's in some ways more heart-wrenching or more I'm more on the edge of my seat because the only one I think that is safe is Omega.
Yeah.
That's the only one I think is probably untouchable.
Yeah.
I agree.
Any of those other guys could at any second.
And here's
exactly,
the thing,
which
totally.
We saw. So I'm always like, oh, who, what, who is? Oh,
yeah.
No, is it none? Is it two of them? Is it one of them?
Even when he did it,
like what?
It wasn't even like I thought. Oh, he's hanging to like get him, and I'm like, I think he's not gonna make it. And then the music kicks in before he does, and I'm like, oh my goodness,
man.
He's really not gonna make it. And then. I really think the writing on the show
followed
that is such
orders.
A great
gosh,
what
darn
an opposite
tech.
Of what amazing. A great foil counter to the good soldiers follow orders that we've heard nonstop.
Yeah,
exactly.
What
we
just said we're
orders.
Not sold. We don't want to be soldiers anymore.
We ever,
and then one of the last things he says because he doesn't get to experience what Hunter is talking about of going and living off and stopping doing all this because
and
tech
of course
make it
takes the one who's going to calculate everything in an instant.
Yeah.
Of course it was tech.
We have to
he's
the
hanging
weight.
There and he goes, we got to do it. There's, and that's what Hunter said is he knew and he didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
He made the decision.
That's
and
right.
They did, a great, they did a great job.
Director
would have
been,
pull me up. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. He's like, just let us all fall. I'll catch us on the way down. Director, that's not how physics work.
But no, and of course it's tech who.
They built up
I mean,
tech
I was
all
watching
season.
This.
Oh, yeah. He became
really
that scene and. Oh, shortly after that, where Omega is out of it, and they're cutting between the balls.
Oh, that was unreal.
I was watching that like,
what
this
is show?
This not
is so,
animation.
It's fascinating.
I was like, they directed this like a movie.
Yeah, it was great.
A
unreal.
War movie.
Oh, it was
they're
a war
out
scene,
of it,
sure.
And
war
Omega's
movie.
Going in and out, and you're just getting glimpses. And like, I was watching that. I was like, this is absolutely incredible. This is some of the this is one of the best clips I've seen in all of Star Wars animation.
Yes.
Was that decision. To film it and do it the way they did, create it the way they did.
Yep, I agree. That
paired
was
with
awesome.
Her, all of that going on with her being out of it, not fully understanding what exactly just happened, and the emotion still carrying over from Tech, waiting for the suspense and stuff to end of, okay, when is she going to wake up? What's that conversation going to be like? Man.
And then.
Awesome.
Sid.
So
Sid
we've So we've been saying, we've been on this podcast for a while. Before the show, I think, even made it really clear.
Sid's got to go.
We had even said, what do they need Sid? Like, Sid.
What is she even doing
we
for
said
them?
Ever since, you know, when she's sending them on all these missives, I got another job for you. We're like, what are we doing? Like, feel like you're not really helping them.
No.
And then the one time when I can't remember his name, but when the guys were like, you think Sid's going to have your back? And he said it then. And we knew, okay, maybe there's something to it. And then beat after beat, time after time, she literally, at the end, sells him out like a weasel and like can't even look at them at the end. Like, it was classic. It was Wormtail. Like,
it really
this was Peter Pettigrew. Oh, Dark Lord. Like, just a coward sold them out.
So,
and they're like,
rat.
You really would do this for everything we did for you? I warned you. You made the bad business for me.
I think I posted something earlier after watching this episode, and I said something
She's going to get it.
I posted something on Twitter after watching this episode. I said, top three characters I hate the most in Star Wars. One, Sid. Two, Sid. Three, Sid.
Mine would be...
And I was like, literally the worst.
Mine would be one, Sid. Two, Sid. Three, Sid from Toy Story.
Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah, because that's the most evil person ever. Anyone who literally goes...
Sid. Sorry, Sid. If your name's Sid, you got a
We need
bad
some
rap going.
Well, thank goodness for Sid from Ice Age, because...
That's true.
That's the only possible...
pain cone. I know my berries. What? I know my berries.
That's
our favorite line.
That's so good.
I was going to say, too, with the cuts with Omega, too.
Oh, yeah. So good.
The tech and then cutting that, I was thinking, I was like, they're going all Clone Wars on us right now. They are taking this you know,
man,
the last three or four have just been on point. And went straight Clone Wars on us, where it starts as something, oh, mission here.
Right.
And then by the end, you're like, this thing.
What's been the chatter like on? Have you guys been reading about Bad Batch online? Have people been like going, we're going.
Yeah.
People
have been loving
Like you
it.
Said, the last four or five episodes or whatever, I think we all
they're
kind
like,
of
oh,
felt.
Oh, it's really picking up.
We all kind of felt when the foot got on the gas pedal and started really driving
forward. When they first
got
to
everybody.
Emery.
Yeah, everybody
Ever
was
since
like,
that episode, we've got a clear idea.
Everybody was like, man, this is getting really good. This is getting really... And then, honestly, one of the big things I want to talk about too is Dr. Hemlock is a great character.
Oh, man.
By the way, do you know? Because I was trying to think
of... He's worse than Sid. I love Hemlock, though.
I know.
Okay, he's a great character.
Exactly.
He's a great character.
Well, that's the duplicity of it.
It is.
You know? Like, there's no pretense. You know exactly what he is.
They're like, that's not, I don't think this is good. We shouldn't be doing that. Even the Empire is telling them what he's doing is unjust with the clones.
Yeah.
Like, we should give him a trial and all this stuff. The other guy. And he's like, the clones are our property of the Empire. No one's going to find out what I'm doing.
Yeah, they're
just like salivating. Cause he's
they're
like,
willing to do
this?
This
is music to my ears.
He's like, the one officer's like, and the clones are like happy to be volunteering for this. He's like, they're the Empire's property. It's not up to them.
By the way, you know who that is? The voice actor?
Jimmy Simpson. So Jimmy Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
From, you know him from, yeah, have yeah. you seen, you've seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? So Jimmy Simpson, he's been a number of things, both serious
great.
And comedic.
But his brother voice, Ryan. I thought you were going to love your brother Ryan. Ryan's dead.
Yeah.
To me.
He's dead.
Exactly. He has such a good... Such a cool voice, but like
sinister.
This calm delivery.
It's like,
yeah.
That
makes it
so
great.
This is what we're going to do, and then we'll see how that plays out for you. And he's like, this whole thing that's like, he's so in control that it's spooky, because we also know that he's like a mad scientist
Even
doctor.
Even amongst the Tarkin.
You talk about.
Well, he didn't seem like subservient. It didn't seem.
No, he showed up.
I mean, we know where Krennic fits in.
He shows up late. He showed up late.
That's the thing.
It just seems to be.
He didn't feel afraid of Tarkin.
No.
He didn't feel afraid of Krennic or anyone else in there. He shows up. You're late? And they're like, I had
business to attend to.
Your budget is quite substantial.
Matters.
Well, it's important to the Empire. Like, it's important
to
the
Emperor.
To the Emperor.
The Emperor, exactly.
That's where he's different from everybody else.
I work for that guy.
That's exactly what it says. Well, like, essentially. To even someone like Tarkin, who's clearly ahead of him in the ranks. But when Hemlock walks in, I thought, wow, these are the people Hemlock, like, this is how high he is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually thought, I'm surprised he's invited to this meeting.
I don't even see him on the same chain of command. Like, even Tarkin's going to answer some that, like, to Vader.
Yeah.
Hemlock is straight to the Emperor, it seems like, as far as the whole cloning thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
more important.
The chatter online
was. Tell us what the chatter
the
is.
The chatter
online
talk after
about
the episode
the chatter.
Was.
Talk about it.
What
the
are
chatter.
We doing over
the,
here?
I'm sorry about goggles.
Jalen still calls him goggles. I want him to go, his name is Deck. And you know it. I'm like, easy there, Wrecker.
Easy.
Have a drink. This one's on me.
He's by the way,
I just wish he would have punched her in the face.
I know.
Bashes her.
Poor Wanda Sykes is out there going,
I wonder when Brown Eyes is getting back.
Like, Brown Eyes.
Got a big day tonight. Brown Eyes coming home.
I'll be back. You didn't even say goodbye.
I know. The chatter online.
Yeah.
Look at the bright side. There's probably another clone.
On the interweb.
The chatter online.
There's another one just like him.
Lots.
Look around.
Did you know? I'm not saying this is my theory because it's not. But the chatter online was the Snoke is Crosshair theory is at an all-time high today. Because in the same room with all the vats is where they find unconscious Crosshair. And they said, we're using the clones to do it. He's got the face. He's even got some scarring. His face is like this. If you literally took Crosshair's face and you kind of draw here, and then age him by like a couple thousand years, that would look like him.
That was one of the deleted scenes, too.
First process. Not Snoke that we see, because we know that Snoke's a clone.
Crosshair's a clone.
No, I know.
No,
but I
know.
Mean,
but
I
it is in one of the deleted scenes.
We know that there's been tanks of Snoke.
There's been multiples. I'm saying that through Crosshair,
tank. It comes
we
from Crosshair
get to
Snoke.
Well, because remember, Snoke's a clone.
Do we get a force sensitive Crosshair? Is that what you're getting at?
Snoke is a clone.
Right.
We know that Snoke's a clone, and we also know that comes much.
It's
later.
A Snoke clone.
It's a Snoke clone.
He's a Snoke clone.
Grape's my favorite Snoke clone. I like cherry,
Snoke
too.
Snoke
Rainbow,
comes.
Though, when you mix all of them together. Delicious Snoke clones.
Snoke clone. I'm waiting for my Snoke clone.
It's a delicious snack. It's a Snoke clone.
I want more.
Snoke comes a lot later.
Yeah.
But.
Or does he?
Well, yes, he does. No.
Well, we know that. We don't know how long he's been around before then.
That was the deleted scene I was going to tell you about from episode 7. They had an Andy Serkis.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Follow orders on program.
On program. Like, cut. You can't reveal the good soldiers follow orders line.
Also, on program is your other character. Snoke's
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, too,
imagine.
By the way.
Yes.
Holy cow. Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Snoke's.
Sorry.
Kingdom of
imagine
the Planet
all
Apes.
The Snoke's going. On program, all these clone Snokes.
Each get a little bit better. Each get a little bit worse.
It's a mix of all of them.
The Emperor's like,
I need less face.
He looks. It's.
He still looks too healthy.
This is.
He still looks too healthy.
This is.
It's better than I do.
This is. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Devil Wears Prada, but this is Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada, and they're bringing her out some Snokes, and she's going, too much face. Take it. Bigger with the scar.
Bigger with the scar.
Now I'm picturing the Emperor walking in, taking his robe off and
throwing it to Anne Hathaway. Stanley Tucci's over there going, "Oh my gosh, did you see what Emperor's?
What can you offer me?
Everything, and
that's
also
why I'm here.
Everything, and also Paris,
in white.
Oh man.
Oh my goodness." But that's so. That was
so.
The,
Snoke clones
the,
are coming.
The connection to. I'm not saying there is any connection, but the fact
it
that they whether
him,
they're in whether
think,
they're
yeah.
playing into it a little
could
bit,
be.
Maybe even Filoni knows that. Oh,
I know they got the tanks.
Even going back to season one, there was a lot of people said, "Oh, is Crosshair?
Well,
we
Snoke, talked about
last
that."
Week I
and
saw
now they
all
put
the
him
Crosshair
in a bat
is
all
the
stuff.
First start of Death Troopers. That's what that's everything I saw last week.
Yeah.
Was all the rumors, you know, is he going to be?
I because
they kept talking about they were repurposing the clones. We're repurposing
the clones. I think they're going to save him. He's going to be pulled out. But his, you know, maybe his DNA path will be end up.
Why can't Crosshair just be Crosshair?
Crosshair just be Crosshair.
We'll have to save him, guys.
What about Edgar?
Are we going to Gar?
We got a Gar. Find
Edgar. Is it going to be a Wrecker that figures it out?
Deck's not gone. There's 20 just like him. They're all the same, Omega.
do we have any of you that are really smart, you know?
Like, well, not you. That rules you out. Oh, man.
You're smart here.
What an episode. What a show.
Amazing.
I absolutely love where Bad Batch has gone.
I don't think there was a moment where we knew Omega wasn't leaving.
Yeah. We knew she was coming back to try and save him.
What were you going to say? You thought,
you know, there's usually in the episode you can point to something and go, that was kind of a leap. That didn't quite feel right. I thought everything in it was like
I thought they
on point.
It
all made sense. The trajectory, the path.
In fact,
that was great.
This is not to compare one versus the other.
Yeah, that fits perfectly in there with him and what would happen.
I also love how the whole place is blowing up, literally. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin's just, we're safe.
We're safe. Look.
On top of this mountain.
It's just doubling down on his arrogance, which ultimately leads to the whole Death Star.
That's right.
Him dying on the Death Star. And this is showing why. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because he's never felt. He's always been. Yeah. We're safe. And he was.
Yeah.
A thing like this comes, they're all getting blown up. He goes, we're safe. Mm-hmm. Believe me, we're safe. Trust me. And until then, he was always right. But obviously, we know his fate.
That's right.
But they're showing why he's been arrogant mm-hmm. like that.
This show is great. I was just blown away. I was emotional when.
Yeah, me too.
They were kind of the same moment, but two moments that were really emotional. It was one tech, but then the aftermath when they're showing everyone Omega deal with it. Omega's character is fantastic.
Yeah,
so good.
Showing Hunter having teary eyed. Also, Omega getting taken. And then the callback to looking at her like a little bunny, like thing that was sitting there in the front.
Yeah.
And looking at that. And like that was really emotional when these guys, because it's
really
such a good scene.
Like,
they're fighting for their lives and all of a sudden the ship takes off. And they're like, we just lost Omega to Hemlock. And then they get on their ship and they're like, we have no way of tracing her. And all these guys are like,
it's like after all that,
we couldn't protect her. And they're looking and they're all just broken. Like, they're all extremely sad, extremely emotional.
It felt very Order 66 in a sense that the turn happens, and in this case, it's Echo's fate.
Yeah.
And then it's not, that's not enough. It's that happens, and then it's boom, Wrecker gets caught. Boom, now Hunter's in a bind and he's on the run. It felt like this happened, but that's not it. We're not slowing down. It's now. Boom, the whole batch is getting broken up and split up, and Omega comes in, and then now she's taken. It felt very much like an Order 66, where, like, the turn happens, we see Anakin raid, but then it cuts to all the different people. Like, and that's not the end of it.
No.
Now it's showing the aftermath of one person that, is gone. Now they're all trickling, and
they made it sound
like they're all getting caught.
And Hemlock made it sound like he only wanted Omega. To get, she's not really the point.
He's like, I'm just getting you back to Nalase.
It's the only reason why she's there. Like, now you can do your work. And if you don't do what we want, we're going to hurt her.
Yeah.
She's really not relevant. Other than
it sound like it's just as a bargaining chip.
Or she is, and he doesn't even know it.
Which
I think is why in the next season we might find out again why Nalase truly.
Well, did Nalase look at him
like such a connection to her?
You don't know, do you?
Because it was also interesting.
You don't even know.
You don't even know.
She's like, you don't know. You don't even know.
Nalase and Omega didn't exactly have a warm embrace when she came back either. She's like, why'd they bring me here? And Nalase just goes, looks at her. I'm like, okay, well.
I'm telling you,
she didn't say it's going to be okay. And then she just goes,
I would hug you, but your head's too high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. And Omega wasn't. You're alive.
You're alive. You're sort of like my mother figure. No,
she's just alive. Wait, why aren't you in handcuffs? Are you with them?
Gosh,
you bet.
It did feel like that though. Like she doesn't.
It's weird.
He doesn't know truly, and we don't know yet either. We're just speculating that there's still more special about Omega, but that he doesn't know if there is something to her that Nalase has that bond to her for that reason. That he doesn't, he's not even aware of it.
Emery turns good.
Yep.
Freeze Omega. See it? You think?
Emery
think
turns so. Good.
Next year?
Freeze Omega.
Crosshair. She sends out a signal. The Bad Batch knows where to find him. Somehow they get to him.
That was one of our predictions.
Maybe not.
Predicted,
that might be too simple.
I think I predicted last week that that they would, in this finale, or I think we didn't even talk about it as a finale last week when we were doing our podcast. We were just talking about in the second to last episode that they would reveal, that Emery would reveal why she wants, or what her kind of, why she wants Omega, or what her true, which is partially, she revealed, I'm your sister. Yeah. So now we know, okay, she's going to do something to help.
Right.
She's not going to sit around.
Well, and she's,
help her.
Yeah.
It's not just they see that they're clone. I think she may see her as more than that. You know, they call each other brothers, which connotates family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She could see it that way. Not, we just don't share DNA.
We're sisters.
Sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait.
When she said,
I can't wait.
But you don't trust me. I don't even know you. I'm like, maybe. And I was like, oh, here it comes.
Here we go.
I'm your sister. I was like, oh, I didn't see sister. But same thing, essentially.
Yeah.
But in clone terms, mother, we're from the
this
same
is the way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I love
it's
it.
Great.
Love
I feel
it,
like,
it.
Yeah, we still got
unreal.
Like, 3 episodes left of Mando.
So we have to have another. The only reason there would be a bad batch is if it's financial, like some
if
catastrophe.
If it got canceled or something, but I don't see it happening.
But Filoni would be like, I'm quitting if you don't do that.
Especially with.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Everyone that I.
Animation. You think it's the other stuff. I'm really just here to do.
Yeah.
No, everyone that I've seen talking about Bad Batch today is. All you know, unanimously said, wow. Even people that I know
Carabas
have said, like, oh, I like some people that are like, oh, I kind of like Bad Batch, or it's not really for me, that stuck with it, though. Today, we're like, man, Bad Batch was really good.
So good.
Yeah, if you didn't, you got to go back from the beginning, watch it all the way through.
Watch it.
Because.
So good.
This is
awesome.
It is
so
really
good. There we got it. 3 episodes left of Mando. 3 episodes left of Mando, I think.
And then we're going to have this big drought. Actually, I was thinking about it. The timing of this puts us 1 week before Star Wars Day.
Ooh,
true.
Yep.
Put us to
which is going to be our first mall visit.
First of all, we're going to go.
To be clear, M-A-L-L.
Yeah, not M-A-U-L.
Yeah.
We're not visiting
Darth
Although
Maul. That would be cool.
I think I still think we should play a game. We should set up our camera. We got a couple cameras shoot and play Outer Rim.
I like
on Star Wars Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Film it.
People be in the chat going, what a stupid move by Mike.
Exactly.
What is he doing?
Oh, he's really? You're going bounty hunter?
Really?
What a noob.
That's going to get you fame? That's going to get you fame?
This guy trying
this guy,
to go.
The worst
play
bounty
Bane.
Hunter in the Outer Rim.
This guy's trying to play Cad
we'll
Bane.
Play expansion. We'll do the
he'd
whole
be
thing.
Destroyed by Pirate King Gorian Shard.
Gorian Shard.
We need to add him to the pirate. Let's add Pirate King Gorian Shard
to
the
game. Oh, that would be great.
That would be great.
That would be a good one.
Well,
there you have it. Episode 5, Chapter 21 of The Mandalorian. Review the Pirate and Bad Batch Season 2 finale breakdown. So let us know your guys' thoughts as always. If you made it this far, don't forget to like, subscribe, and smash that notification
what are we
bell.
Doing all the-
and comment. Let us know what you think about the Bad Batch. If you haven't seen that, then let us know what you think of Mando. Let us know maybe predictions, some Mando maybes of what's going to come in the next 3 episodes to finish off Season 3. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Bo-Katan. That's the whole quote. I just like the
Walks
way she says it.
Walks in both worlds.
Walks in both worlds.
She can bring the clans together.
Ahsoka Tano.
Kill the apostate.
Ahsoka Tano walks the world between worlds. Ooh.
She is an apostate.
If you made it this far and you enjoyed that episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and tell a friend about us here at Star Wars, guys. Your support is much appreciated, and it never goes unnoticed. We'll see you all in the next episode.